But it is Jesus, what he's done for us in our hearts, what he did for us on the cross, as he died after living that perfect life, died, rising again, and then because of that, we worship a risen Savior. And so I hope you know that today, that you have come, that God's presence is in this place, that I hope today that for me and for you, we leave changed by that. And so, listen, if you're here for the very first time, we'd ask that you do us a favor. If this is a connection card, please put your name and as much information as you feel comfortable on there. You know, checking account numbers are fine. I'm kidding. Don't do that. So, but, I mean, just put what's comfortable and drop that in. There's a place for prayer requests and some information about the church. And if you come every single week and have prayer requests, please drop those in as well. Love to pray with you week after week on those. Now, listen, there's some cool things that are happening that are coming up. Of course, Vacation Bible School, I think, is in about 2 weeks. As you can see, the set is beginning to take shape, and animals are showing up on the wall, and so in the lobby, things are changing, and we have a team of folks that are doing an amazing job. You don't even know the countless hours that have been put into this. It's one of the biggest outreaches that we do, and so please check out your bulletin. There's some cool things that are happening, such as the VBS Drive Around Invite and a church-wide worship and prayer service that'll be going on. Check those things out. And please join in where appropriate. But something else is happening starting next week, and I just want to encourage you. Some of you will think that you can do this, but it's really only for a certain group. And this is a college and career class. It'll be kicking off with Chris Harris next Sunday at 9:45. And so if you're interested in that, if you think you qualify, we won't turn anybody away. But it's for those in their 20s and those who are in college or maybe just out of college. And they're going to be kicking off a study on the Sermon on the Mount. And what's great about that study is that is a time of life really where you make a lot of decisions, isn't it? In your early 20s and all that. And so if you're interested, show up at around 9:30, and then Chris Harris will be here. You're going to go down this hall, and it's the fourth room on your left. And so we're excited about launching that brand new class that is going on right there. All right. You guys ready? Let's pray together. Ask God to do something amazing. We'll continue to sing. Father, thank you so much for all you're doing here at our church. God, we thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. God, without you, we would be without hope. But today as we worship you, this day that is set aside, that we lift up the precious name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God, your word tells us that at your name every knee shall bow. And so, Father, today we bow before you. God, as we look to your word, as we talk about the Proverbs and where faith and life intersect, and God, as we talk about the fact and understand and pray for that it is through a heart change from the inside out, Father, that we begin to follow you in the way that we should. God, I pray for every single person here that whatever they're going through, and every one of us are going through something, Father, that today we would lean upon you. God, that we would open up our hearts to what you have to say to us. Be with those who are traveling, who are sick. God, those who are going through tough times. And God, as we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, we end with a thank you and praise for our wonderful Savior Jesus. Ask all this in your name. Amen.
A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, well, I'm caught in your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all fears fade, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all faith. Yeah. control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice embrace, become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all. I give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, and love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul, it cries out, Lord. My heart and my soul, I give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, and love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul, it cries out, Lord.
Well, good morning again. You guys ready to jump into God's Word? Hope so. Week number 3 of Proverbs and Pathway. And we are continuing our study in the book of Proverbs as we look at this book of wisdom that God has given us. And we have a tagline, which I think is so appropriate, that the book of Proverbs is really about where faith and life intersect. The book of Proverbs is a very practical book in the sense that it talks about how to live this life, but it is full of theology, as we talked about last week. This idea of fearing the Lord, this idea of having a proper perspective, an awe of who God is. Not that we fear God, that he's some cosmic being with a big fly swatter ready to smack us down, but a loving heavenly Father that has created all the universe, that we know in a personal way. And so today, as we look at what the book of Proverbs has, and as we think about the world that we are in, if you watch the news very long, you don't have to wonder, do we live in an angry world? What do you think? Yeah. How many of you have been angry this past year? Okay, all right. How about in the past month? Okay. How many of you were angry on the way to church this morning? Okay, the rest of you can leave. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, listen, anger is one of those things that we all struggle with, right? I mean, it's one of those things that we need to know as far as just we live in an angry world. I mean, you look at ISIS and the things that are going on in the Middle East, it's because of anger. It's because of hatred. It's because they look at the world in a way that makes them so angry that they react. And we're having people walk out already. So here's what I want to let you know, is that Children's Church, ages 3 through kindergarten, is now leaving out of the back. Thank you, Gene, for reminding me. It's written on my notes, but obviously I haven't looked at them yet. So please don't be angry about that, children, as you leave. Oh. Good luck, Gene. All right, as we continue, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 32. And really glad that you guys are here with us today. And listen, we do live in a, unless you've been in a cave, we live in a place that is angry. So much so that a few years ago, my wife began to be concerned about the world that we live in. And that she said, listen, I want to be prepared that if I'm out in this world that I can defend myself. And so I thought, well, I can see that as a lady. You'd want to make sure. And so what I saw was a video that they took on their final day, and I want to share that with you. So check out this rad training that my wife took. I love how this guy says, I got this one. It was after this video that I immediately realized that I was in trouble at home. Was not going to win any argument of any kind. Listen, I just wanted to share that with you and the fact that, listen, it's crazy that we have to go and train to protect ourselves like that, isn't it? But it's because we live in a world that is very, very angry. As a matter of fact, here's some stats that I have found. And see if you agree with these. Maybe some you don't. But it says the average woman loses her temper 3 times per week. Or day, somebody said. It says the average man loses his temper 6 times per week. Yes? Maybe? How about this one? You single adults, it says single adults express anger twice as often as married adults. I'm not sure that's true or not, but that's what they said. They said men are more likely to lose their temper inside the home rather than outside the home. Probably true. I have to agree with this one. It says the most dangerous room during a temper tantrum is your kitchen. So keep that in mind. And it says most likely to express road rage are mothers of school-aged children and young adults in their 20s. I have seen mothers at the school waiting to drop their kids off. I would say that's probably true. And then British Airways did an interesting study, and they said that air rage cases have increased by 400%. Number of people who just can't control their anger. Listen, I don't know each of you to the point to where I might know where you are in that, but I know that anger is one of those things that maybe many of us struggle with. But it's clear because the fact that the book of Proverbs, written thousands of years ago, one of the themes that is talked about the most in this book is about anger, about the cause of anger, about the remedy of anger, about the results of anger that are taking place. And so in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, our launching verse into this, and we're going to be all over the Proverbs today, says this. It says, better a patient person than a warrior. Another translation says that better one who can control their temper than a warrior is one with self-control who can take a city. Listen, Solomon in his writing says, listen, someone who has self-control, who is a patient person, really is stronger than one who can conquer an entire city. It takes more strength, more courage, more self-resolve to control yourself than it is to climb the walls and to take over the city. As a matter of fact, the story goes that Napoleon, you know, the famous general and the one who conquered many, many cities, said that one of his generals came into him and said something that he did not like, and he killed him on the spot. And Napoleon said, listen, he said, how is it that I can conquer a city, but I cannot conquer my own soul? Maybe you're there today. And so our big idea is this, and we'll flesh it out as we go, that anger has the power to move us to action, or it can become a destructive reaction. Anger has the power to move us to action or to become a destructive reaction. And so the question for me, the tension question for you maybe is this: how can we control our anger? How do we keep it under control? You see, the reality is that anger is an explosive substance. It's not necessarily all bad, but it is destructive in nature if not controlled in a certain way. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 14:30 talks about the fact that when it comes to anger, it can actually deteriorate our body. The danger of anger, it says this, Proverbs 14:30, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. A heart at peace, one that is in self-control, gives life to the body. Listen, research on anger has said this, is that anger causes your body to react even more if you had gone and run a vigorous race, or even more than stress or worry or any of the things that are out there. That anger, when you become angry, it begins to do things to your body that are destructive. As a matter of fact, it says that it leads to high blood pressure, to stroke, to heart attack. The reality is that when we have uncontrolled anger, it actually will begin to deteriorate our body. But not only that, in Proverbs 15:18, it talks about the fact that if we are angry, we do not control our anger, that it can damage our relationships. And now you're thinking, well, yeah, duh, it does. But here's what Proverbs 15:18 says. It says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. You see, the principle here is this, is that anger is contagious. Would you agree with that? It's contagious, isn't it? When you have anger and begin to spew it out, it begins to take root even in other people that might be open, or they themselves might be angry people. And so what happens is that the principle is every time that I spew my anger into someone else, it has the potential for someone else to take that and it begins to grow. And so the principle is that anger is contagious. You see, even as parents, when we get angry, the greatest relationship that God has given us is our children. And do you know that when it comes to being angry, that one of the greatest things that can deteriorate is that relationship? Because listen, our kids learn how to be angry by who? By us. How we deal with it. Because we all get angry, don't we? It's an emotion. It's not a bad thing to get angry, as we'll see in a few minutes. But our children look to us to do that. Listen, I will never forget this example for me. It's burned in my brain because of the fact that I was so embarrassed about what happened. But we had this little dog named Fred. Fred was insane. Fred was one of those dogs, one of those pets that you just look back and go, I'm so glad that we got rid of that dog. But for a while, Fred was our pet. And every morning, Fred would leave me a surprise in the living room. I don't know why I'm called it a surprise after that, because it was there every day. Now, he wouldn't move it around. He was very strategic. And I remember one day I had just stepped in it and lost it. And I grabbed a broom, and I was going to kill that dog. I'm not going to being transparent with you. I was absolutely done. And I chased that dog all over the house with that broom. And my kids are crying. They're like, "Dad, stop. You're going to kill it." I chased the dog into the crate. And this is the picture of uncontrolled anger. I picked the crate up with the dog all four paws like this, and I began to slam that crate into the ground. And about halfway up, I look, and there's these little eyes looking at me. And I realized my anger was out of control toward that dog. Now, that's a silly story, but we can all relate to some time when we've been angry and we realize that what we have done is we have given an example of not how to do it. We've damaged that relationship, and sometimes beyond repair. And so why do we do it? Why do we use anger like that? Well, let's just be blunt. It works, doesn't it? Sometimes when we need to, we get really angry. Listen, sometimes you don't have to raise your hand, but I remember what it was like as a kid getting ready to go to church. You know, we're going to worship the Lord Jesus, but we're all like, "Get in the car before I kill you." I mean, it's just like, we praise Jesus. Oh, we're going to kill you. I mean, so it's like you go through this whole, and then you walk in, it's like, oh. But it works, doesn't it? Motivates. But what does it do? It deteriorates that relationship, doesn't it? How many times do you see your parents, you're like, "You better clean up that room. I'm going to tell you. All right. Hello? Yes. Anger is one of those things that we all struggle with. It deteriorates our body and our relationships. But more than that, it diminishes our wisdom, doesn't it? Our wisdom. What do we read in Proverbs 14:17? It says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things." I can raise my hand right there and identify with that. It says, "And the one who devises evil schemes is hated." A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Listen, the other day I was just thinking about someone that was angry and doing things, and I ran across this video. So check out this video. See if you can relate to what this guy's going through. We have no idea exactly. I have no idea what this sign did to this guy. But who gets the better of it? The sign. Who looks like a foolish person? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been so angry and when you look back, you're like, "Man, I was such a fool. I was embarrassed by what happened." It diminishes our wisdom. You know what's interesting is that it talks about in here that a quick-tempered person does foolish things. What's interesting is that ultimately it leads to a denial of our anger issues. Because we don't want to think the fact that we might have an issue, that we might have some anger buried up in there that is just waiting for that opportunity. And so we all admit things. We admit things to people. It's easy sometimes to admit about our anxieties or things that we worry about or some stress. But I don't know of anybody that I've ever met that came up to me and said, "I have an anger problem." It's buried inside like a destructive bomb that's just waiting. It can become very addictive because, listen, when we act out on that anger, it is almost like a drug within our body, dumping things into our system, and that ultimately we don't want to deal with it. And so what begins to happen? It begins to build and to build and to build. But did you know that anger can be a good thing? That there is a positive to it? That God has given us this emotion along with all the others, because what it does in that moment where it moves us in the wrong way to do something destructive, it can also move us to do the things that are after God's heart. know, the Bible is clear that we can be angry and not sin. You know, the Bible has a lot to say that God is angry against certain things, angry against sin, against injustice, those things that harm God's people, the things that go against what he wants to do. He's angry at the things that are happening in this world so that ultimately he sends his son Jesus so that he can make what is wrong right. So that his people, his church, being called out of this world to stand up for the fatherless, to stand up for those who don't have a voice, to be able to be the hands and the feet of those that need a voice. We see that Jesus in the temple, it says that he was angry and turned over the tables because what they had done had turned his father's house into a place that it had never been intended to be. You see, anger, as we talked about in our big idea, that it can be something that is something that moves us to action in a positive way, or it can be something that is a destructive reaction. Where are you at today? Are you just angry? Or are you angry at the things that God is angry at? Do they break your heart? You see, the root of anger is this, is that ultimately, as God asks us to be angry about the things that he's angry about, typically for me, I can't speak for you, but I become angry about the things that affect me, my ego. I begin to be angry about the wrong things. The anger that I have goes out and begins to make a U-turn and come right back into my heart. And listen, all of us have these things. And what begins to happen when we do this, there are different levels of frustration. And I've given you three today that maybe you can identify with one that is out there. And listen, here's the level one frustration is this. It's a daily frustration. The daily grind of life will begin to eat away, because if you are just thinking about yourself and you've moved, as we talked about, the path that God has placed you on, and last week talking about the fear and the awe of God and perspective of who he is, and suddenly I just begin to be chiseled away at the frustrations of life. Listen, these are the little things. I don't know about you, but, you know, squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom, not the middle. So Melinda and I just got two things of toothpaste. So one squeezes one and one squeezes another. The toilet paper is supposed to roll over this way, not this way. Get right, people, okay? But moms, the frustration of tripping over shoes every day can just lead to a low level of anger. What happens then is you move and maybe there's this level two of long-term hurt that begins to creep, that the day-to-day chiseling away of your joy in the Lord, and suddenly you begin to have this anger that happens. Because what do we see here? We see in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." The wisdom of understanding that things happen in life, but what begins to happen is that we begin to have those undealt with hurts that lead to an anger that just begins to burn inside. I don't know about you, but listen, I've been wronged. I've had things happen to me that were unjust. I know you have too. There have been things in life that just didn't work out the way that you wanted them to. People said things to you. They were hurtful. And what begins to happen when you don't turn those over to God, when you begin to just rely on your own wisdom, then this anger can begin to build in you. And listen, the daily frustrations of life become bigger and bigger. And so it's for through wisdom your days will be many. An understanding. But for some of us, and maybe all of us have been here at some point, maybe some of you are there today, there is a third level, and that is a deeper insecurity and an anger against God. Maybe some of you are just angry at God. Life hasn't turned out like you thought it would. The map that you thought that you were on, the path, as we talked about in day one, this picture of going down a path, You ended up where you were going because we know the principle. Whatever your path is on, that's your destination. Doesn't matter what you hope for, pray for, wish for. If you're on another path, you will end up in that destination. And you've ended up there now, and you look back, and you're just angry because life didn't go. And listen, what does it say? It says in Proverbs 19:3, it says, a person's own folly, being on the wrong path, leads to their ruin. Yet their heart rages against the Lord. Rages against the Lord. You see, our anger begins to be turned upon the one that we should be in awe of, as we talked about last week, the fear of the Lord, this belief that God is sovereign and that he's done all things, knows all things, and has a plan and a purpose, and we want to get on his path. But ultimately, we begin to say, God, why me? What's happening? What, God, this wasn't what I had planned. And you begin to be angry in a way that is deeper. And what's interesting is that as you begin to rage against God, as you begin to look and begin to thrust your anger toward him, the level one and the level two frustrations just get bigger and bigger and bigger because you begin to think that God is against you, not for you. You begin to think that God doesn't love you anymore. You begin to think all these things, which I just call stinking thinking. It means that you are not believing what God's word says about you and about me. And suddenly, everything begins to be about you. And so what do we do? What's the answer? Well, fortunately, we have God's word to help us. See, the first thing that we have when it comes to anger, here's what you need to do. We've got to admit it. I know if you're in a recovery group, what's one of the first things they tell you? That to acknowledge you have a problem is the first step to recovery. It's no different when it comes to anger. In Proverbs 17:27, it says this. It says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. I'm sorry. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool continues to run. What it says is this. It says, the wise in heart, those who are willing to admit that they are struggling, that they have an issue with anger. And so they admit that it's going on. But not only do they admit it, but listen, the next thing that needs to be done is that they delay it. You see, it's so easy. Once you get to that level three anger, that when something happens, you instantly begin to react to something. And so what happens? In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, it says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an assault. They learn to delay it. The wisdom of knowing that we have to do that. It says, the fool shows their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlooks an assault, an insult. Listen, one of the things that we want to do first is what? When anger begins to come, instantly your body goes into what's called a fight or flight instance. Adrenaline pumps in. All these things begin to happen. But the one who has gained the wisdom of God, the one who understands who they are and who God is and the awe of who he is, the one who is maturing in their faith with Christ, realizes that they have to step back. Now listen, as you came in today, you were handed a piece of candy. Now I know Deidre Cosby already ate hers because she told me so. And if this was a sermon on patience, she would have failed miserably. But I want you to get your candy out. You don't have to eat it right now. Please don't leave the wrappers everywhere. But here's what I want you to do with this candy. Just as a reminder, the next time someone attacks you, the next time that anger creeps in, the next time that you just want to fly off in that moment, think about this. You can't respond until you've eaten this entire candy. Now, some of you, I know you're thinking, I can crunch through this in about 10 seconds. It's not a big deal. Listen, the idea is that when you give yourself a moment to let God begin to fill in, God's word, his power of his spirit to begin to say, slow down. You delay it. So you're welcome to eat the candy now if you want to. If you're really angry, then go ahead and eat it now and you can wait until the end. But not only this, what does it say? It says delaying it. But finally, we need to analyze it. To analyze it. Proverbs 17:27 says this. It says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Whoever has understanding is even tempered. What it says, when you gain the knowledge of the fact that you might struggle with anger, and you begin to identify level one, level two, level three, and you begin to say, God, help me. That is the knowledge that you can take a step back and begin to look. In Proverbs 24:29, it says, do not say, I'll do to them what they have done to me. He says, I'll pay them back for what they did. Who is the person talking to here in this proverb? He's talking to himself, isn't he? He's talking to himself. And he's saying, listen, he says, when it comes to what makes you angriest, please listen to this. It's not what has happened to you, but it's what you tell yourself happened to you. Do you get that? It's not necessarily what happened to you. It's what you are telling yourself that has happened to you. You see, so many times when I'm the center of attention, guess what begins to happen? I think that people are thinking about me all the time. And that their every action and their every word and their every deed is focused at me. You know what I have realized is? I'm not that important. And that many times people are doing things, yes, that might make me angry, but their sole intent was not to attack me. But ultimately, my anger is stirred within me so that because I believe that I am the one and I put together what I think that they are doing to me. And so what are you angry about? What are you defending today? Is there something in your heart that you are holding against somebody else? Some anger that at the slightest look at their face, their name, the idea, everything floods back in again, and that anger begins to come into your heart and pushes out everything that God is doing in that moment. So what is it? The question is this. If I struggle with anger, if I have something in my life, how can I move me out of the center of the equation? How can I begin to set that to the side so I can do and admit and delay and analyze what is happening? And so it really goes down to, what are we filling ourselves with? You see, the beauty of this, is that when it comes to every day when I wake up, I get a chance to fill myself up with something as I head out for the day. And I can fill myself with the rage of the day, with the anger, with the things that have happened to me, the injustice, the little things that drive me crazy can begin to fill my glass up. And ultimately, what I'm filled up with is what's going to spew out. Would you agree with that? You see, what this is really two choices. I can be filled with flesh, is what the Bible calls it. That I am going after my own desires for revenge, for hate, for envy, for strife, to be angry. Or I can be filled with what the Apostle Paul talks about. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. We can be filled so that it doesn't matter all that has happened to us. We begin to push out the anger of being filled. Here's what he says in Galatians 5, 22 through 26. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit of God, living in us is what he's talking about, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. The way of dealing with those things under our own power, which lead to anger. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. You see, every day we have a choice. I have a choice. Today you have a choice. Some of you might be filled up with something that is just eating you alive on the inside. Today we have an opportunity to turn that over to Christ. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, guess what? All you can do is fill it up with the things that are yours. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that it's impossible that you might fill yourself with the Spirit of God. If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? It's not like the Spirit leaves you and comes again. But ultimately, listen, if we are not seeking after the things of God, what can begin to happen is we move God to the side and we take over. We begin to live in the flesh. This is what Paul is talking about. The Spirit of God is in you. It is there, but the Christian life is one of surrender. Surrendering my will, my desires, my success, all the things. It goes back to this idea in the very first message we had, that we are stepping off of the path that we are on, headed in a destination of destruction, and we are stepping into a path that says, God, I'm going to follow what you desire for me to do. Because, you know, every day we fill it up. And, you know, if I was to walk down and bump into somebody, what would happen to this glass? It would just spill, wouldn't it? So every day, let me just say this to you and to me. Every day we interact with people, we bump into them. What are you spewing every day? What is flowing over the sides of your cup into someone else's life? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, self-control? Or is it a spewing of hatred and anger? When people think of your life, do they think of someone that is godly? Or when they see you coming, do they go the other way? Because they know what's coming out of your mouth is not going to be something that God would want them to hear. Listen, I can't answer that question for you, but I can answer it for me. And you know what? Most days I do okay. Some days I fill it up with stuff that shouldn't be in there. Today is a day that we can get before God and we can say, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, help me to be, as we leave this week, to go out into our community, living out our purpose statement, to love God, love others, and reach the world. We're going to do that when we are filled with the things of God. As we go to work, as we get gas at the gas pump, as we go to dance, we go to whatever it is that God has called the people that are around you, guess what? You get a chance to live out the Great Commission and the things that God has given you by the very fact that you have the wisdom of God in you. And that you get a chance to spill his love and grace and mercy all over those that he allows us to be a part of in their life. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to come up, and there's going to be some music playing. And listen, this area is, as always, is open. If you'd like to spend some time down here with the Lord, you can do it at your seat if you like. I'll be down right here in the front if you want to pray. If you don't know Jesus, then today would be a great day for you to come to meet him for the very first time. Would love to start a conversation with you about that right down here. But I'm going to pray. When I'm done, that's your opportunity to allow God to work in your life. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity we've had today, God, to look at this book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom. God, I pray for myself and everyone here, Father, that we would open up our hearts, God, that we would be honest about some of the things that just drive us crazy. God, the things that we hang on to because it's an addictive feeling of anger that we have, but at the same time, it feels good. It's empowering. God, I pray for me and for everybody here that we would surrender that to you. God, that we would be filled with your Spirit. God, that we would be known as people of peace, people of love, of mercy, of grace, God, that we will be light in a dark place. Father, I pray for every person here today, God, that you will do a work in their lives. Thank you for what you're doing in mine. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty, you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, well, it ain't gonna listen. But nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. Come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. And soon all the world will see living waters found in me, 'cause you've gone to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who thirst will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Oh, leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Oh, leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Lord, leave it all behind. Come to the well.
What a great prayer today. Just leave it at Jesus' feet, coming to the well. So as we prepare to take up an offering, as we continue our worship service, as you prepare to give, my prayer is that today we will take God's word, hide it deep in our hearts, as he continues to change and mold us into the image of his son. And if you're a visitor today, I would love to meet with you. If you want to hang toward the back there, I'll be back there. We'd love to shake your hand and thank you for coming. And we look forward to just an awesome week ahead. And so let's pray as we ask God to bless the offering, and we'll continue. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you for loving us beyond what we can understand. And thank you that you loved us first so that we could love you and others. Thank you for all you have provided for us, God, that this offering that is being taken up, Father, I pray that you will bless those who give, and God, I pray that we give joyously, and thank you for the money that you provide week after week. We ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Well, you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, just give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, just give me Jesus, oh, give me Jesus, well, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. Well, you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
Thank you, Rodney. Thank you guys for being here. We are so grateful that you are here, and look forward to an awesome week ahead. And listen, as you leave today, there are some cards that if you want to grab two or three, and invite somebody to join you next week as we continue in the series on Proverbs, where faith and life intersect. Invite them to come. I promise you, you don't want to miss it. If you are a part of the child safety course for VBS, one of the things here at Castle Baptist, we want to make sure that safety around our kids is vital. And so if you need to have that course to work at VBS, then that's going to be done in the room right back here, okay? As you head out this room here, last room on your right is where that'll be done. So please make your way to that. And I hope you guys have an awesome day. And so we're going to send it out with Rodney. Thank you, Rodney, for your help today.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt his heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had washed a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Jesus.
See y'all next Sunday.
His word endures from beginning to end. To God be the glory.